Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today we're going to see a movie. It's called Challengers. It is... I've seen the trailer for this. I would describe this as... Well, I've no idea really what the plot's about, but it looks to be either a sports movie or an erotic thriller. I'm not sure which one it is.
I hope it's both. It's about tennis. I love watching tennis. It's the only sport I like.
It's the only sport you like?
Yeah.
What do you mean, like in general?
In general, yes. The only sport I would
watch. You'll watch tennis.
Stars Zendaya, obviously she's fab. Mike Faced, don't know him. And Josh O'Connor of a film we saw a few years ago, Aisha.
That was your number one of the year.
It was. Largely better known, I believe, for The Crown.
Oh, yeah. He was Prince Charles in The Crown, right? We don't watch that.
But it's written by Justin Kirkitzes. And do you know who he is?
I don't. Tell me who that is.
If one can be judged by who they're married to... And you do get judged favourably for being married to me. His wife is Celine Song.
Oh my God, Past Lives. Oh, wow.
So if she was even in
Power couple.
In the room with him when he wrote this, I'm excited to watch it.
Do you think Celine touched this?
I think so.
Celine touched the script for this movie.
They definitely talked about it over dinner and she definitely gave him a few notes.
Surely.
And it's directed by Luca Guadagnino.
Nailed it.
And he directed Call Me By Your Name, which I haven't seen, but it's hugely critically acclaimed.
Very highly regarded.
So anyway.
That's the Timothy Chalamet big hitter, isn't it?
I'm very interested in this film and love sports movies and love erotic thrillers. So here we go.
Great. Do you remember seeing the trailer for this when you sat next to me in the cinema?
I told you I see trailers, I don't watch them.
What is up with you?
tune out.
You sat. How could you tune out for Zendaya having very erotic trailer time with two men?
I just don't pay attention to trailers. I don't want to see them. I want to see the movie. They give everything away.
How do you do it?
It's a magic
trailer blindness. I wish I had it. Right.
Anyway,
well, that's,
let's go.
That's
Can't
it.
Wait. Everyone's talking about it, so it's a big movie of the weekend, and we're looking forward to watching it.
See you on the other side.
Bye.
You think that tennis is about expressing yourself, doing your thing. But you don't know what tennis is.
What is it?
Tashi Duncan.
She's in another league.
You were incredible today.
Come on!
To have a fashion line, a foundation. She's gonna turn a whole family into millionaires.
What are you gonna do now?
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
I want you to be my coach.
I want you to be my coach.
How often does this happen? Going after the same girl? Come here.
Which one of us?
This is a game about winning the points that matter.
I don't need to play mind games with you.
Come have a cigarette with me. I have to talk to you.
I don't smoke, and I'm not talking to you.
Hi, we're back. We've seen Challengers. And if it's your first time at the Cinemile, we won't spoil this movie until we turn onto Spoiler Street, which will be signposted. There's real signs for it in real life. Yeah, it's 1 kilometer away.
Yeah.
So that was an amazing movie.
That was incredible.
That was so good.
we're dying.
Wow.
I'm absolutely buzzing.
Buzzing. I'm charred. I'm
I could go play tennis now.
Wow.
And I can play tennis.
That was thrilling.
It was so intense. I was on the edge of my seat. Now, Dave, what's the number one thing that a good sports movie should have?
A rivalry.
What does this movie have? Is it one of the best I've ever seen in my life?
An all-timer rivalry.
All-time
yeah.
great sports movie rivalry.
But what's so good about this movie, and allow me, dear listener, to try and sell this to you, is this movie isn't just a... A rivalry is a straight line. This is a triangle. There are three people with very shifting power dynamics throughout this movie, and it is fascinating.
It's like a relationship movie, and then it's a tennis movie.
The movie itself often throws in the dialogue. You know, the characters will ask each other, "Are we talking about tennis?"
Yeah, the movie is like that.
The whole movie is both. Talking about tennis and not talking about tennis. And that's the tennis matches are thrilling.
They're so
because
good.
Of what has happened off the court.
Yeah.
And I think I gotta say, at first, this movie doesn't have a conventional chronological narrative structure. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, it's time jumping all over the place.
And at first it's annoying, and then you get obsessed with
exactly
it.
What yeah. I was going to say. I was like, I was so annoyed at
Same.
The beginning.
I was like, oh,
why
sake.
Did you start at the end? What are you adding yeah. by having shown us the end?
I
would have
exactly
preferred if you'd started at the beginning and then... Yes, yep. exactly as you said. I'm like, halfway through the movie, it clicks what they're doing, and I'll talk about it in spoiler street. And I'm like, it is very okay. clever. And
like Baby's dad from Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
And nobody
it got better.
Put Zendaya in a corner.
By the end, when they were doing the flashbacks, I was like...
yeah, the flashbacks...
they're so good.
...are used. The editing in this movie
it's
is
so good.
Excellent, and they use...
Music's
the
so
past,
good.
Yeah, even the past from like a day ago. Suddenly, like, you're like, you're in the middle, you're mostly in the present, a tennis match. And then suddenly, like, you're into set three, and then here's what happened yesterday. And you're like, oh my God, set three,
so
the stakes
good.
Just became even
and
bigger.
There's like two different scores in the film. And at the beginning, much like with the time jumping where when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, I was like, the music is too much for me. I'm not here for this kind of music. It's too loud. It's too in my face. By
the
end, I was like, music's pumping. Like
the music.
When the music came on, I was like hopping off my seat with excitement.
I had the opposite reaction. From the beginning, I was like, the score is like, I don't know much about dance music, but I don't know, is it like house or club? It's just like, it's like being in a nightclub.
It's really intense.
At first it's like, unexpected.
It's
watching
really
a tennis
unexpected.
Match, which is a very silent game normally, and you know, it's very just.
That's why I didn't like it at the start, because it was like typically these days, and we often notice when we watch older movies over on our Patreon, like music used to be much more dominant in films, right? As in, like the score used to be incredibly loud and like invasive, and like that's really died down. And then this movie is just like, we are going to throw the score in your face. We're going to turn the volume up way louder than what you're used to hearing scores anymore. And it's such a stylish
film. It's awesome. And throughout the whole movie, I was thinking for now, I was like, talk about the score.
As if you're going to forget it.
We don't take notes.
By the end, when the music came on, I was like.
And then, but then the credits rolled up and it said Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And I was like, of course it's Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. The two of the absolute all-timers when it comes to scores.
I think we have to talk
and
about
it,
like,
it has their fingerprints all over it.
How
it's a
good
fantastic score.
She's a producer in this film.
Oh my God, Zendaya.
Like, we were just saying when you went to see Dune that like she's the best thing in it. She's a phenomenon.
She's
like,
a superstar.
I mean she's known by one name, as is right when you wear this much of a superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, the other two actors are so good. And
so
yet,
it's Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, who I was not familiar with, but they're both so good in this.
So good.
Everyone is
and
fantastic.
Then, but they're both so good, but like the movie works because of her charisma.
Yeah, the whole movie's
power.
And the characters are revolving
Everything
around,
revolves
her.
Around her. And then I saw she's a producer, not just like an executive you producer, but when you have producer, like you're a real producer, do you know what I mean? So she's all over it. She's been out promoting it everywhere. Like she's doing proper publicity work, and she's out there in like really cool tennis themed outfits and stuff. And our cinema, which is always dead, was super busy, and there's a lot of teenagers in it, and that's because Zendaya's in this and she's been out promoting.
Yeah,
it.
she's got the Gen Z pull.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you need that, like you need big movie stars to launch movies. I kind of remembered halfway through it, oh yeah, of course she's been in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or no, Spider-Man Homecoming, which was the biggest movie of all time.
There's a reference to Into the Spider-Verse in this.
That's what reminded me she'd been in Spider-Man. That was like the biggest box office of all time for one of the Marvel movies when it came out, wasn't it? Or for that demographic. I remember there being there being loads of statistics around how like there was such a young audience going to see it.
Well, do you
so
remember
between
we
Euphoria,
saw...
Spider-Man, Dune, like she's just such a superstar.
That's, you're right. She's got the four quadrants there.
Well, you know,
she's
also
got most
really,
of the quadrants.
She's a singer.
She was a singer first, right?
Yeah. So like, yeah. She's just so famous. But like, to be in this and Dune in the same month, yeah.
Well, yeah, close enough.
Very close.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Now, I think this movie I read was supposed to come out last year, but was delayed because of the writer's strike. Or the actor's strike.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I guess they wanted to promote it.
It's fascinating to see... Well, I'm glad they held off. It's fascinating to see Josh O'Connor in this role, because the last role we know him from, Aisha, which is a movie we mentioned at the beginning, which is like a very serious Irish movie, a very brilliant Irish movie, about people who are seeking asylum in Ireland. And he plays an Irish guy, and we were so bowled away at the time that we thought he was Irish. It was the best Irish accent we've ever heard.
His accent is very good, yeah.
And And he's very, like, quiet character in it. He's brilliant. He's so different in this film. And I love when you see it. Now, neither of us have seen The Crown. But I love when you watch an actor in two different projects and they're just so completely different.
Yeah.
It makes you, like, quite in awe of their range. He's so cheeky in this. And I was saying today, like, he played Prince Charles in The Crown and so did Dominic West. And he actually reminds me of Dominic West. Like, he's got that real energy that Dominic West had in The Wire. Like, he's got the same, like, McNulty.
He's got the same shit-eating grin,
yeah, he does,
that McNulty
he's
has.
He's so good. And then the other guy who we didn't know, Mike Reed, like, it took me a while to
Mike
warm
Feist,
to... Sorry,
Feist.
Mike Feist. It took me a while to warm to him just because I knew the other two actors and I didn't know him. But I thought he was brilliant. What's so good about it is, and this never normally happens, right? Like, when we're watching a Rocky movie, obviously we want Rocky to beat Apollo Creed, right? Throughout this movie, I actually kept shifting over who I wanted to win.
Yeah.
Which is very satisfying then because you're so invested. I was like, I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just so invested in them. Right, I think we should go to spoilers though.
Yeah, let's do it. Only to say, I highly recommend this to anybody.
Oh yeah, if you didn't
anybody
realize.
In the four quadrants who are aware of who Zendaya is, which is apparently everyone in the world now.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone should go and see it, and it's brilliant.
It's fantastic. It's yeah. Right. It's just like, this movie's propulsive.
I realized during the film.
Interesting.
I was actually just like beaming because I was so happy. I was like, this is so good.
It's genuinely thrilling. It's very interesting.
The relationship dynamics are fascinating and actually often teeter into, like, not quite as erotic as Dave promised, but like definite rom-com vibes. Like, there's some humor in it.
It's sexual. Sexy. It's sexually charged.
But it wasn't,
you know,
an erotic thriller. That's a different kind of genre.
No.
But it is sexually charged. It also has, like, very, like, incredibly good friendship dynamics. Romantic relationship dynamics, like, just all fascinating stuff.
I would say that each of the three actors had great chemistry with each other.
Yeah.
Like, with each of them. Anytime any of the two actors were on screen together,
so
the whole, like, there was a fucking energy.
Yeah. Come on,
there
we
was
need
an
to go
electricity.
To spoiler
shoot. Anyway, so spoilers. Well, actually, we'll take a quick, you might hear a quick ad here, and then we'll come back for Spoiler Street. All right, so we have just turned on to Spoiler Street for Challengers. Full spoilers here. Let's talk. I guess, do you want to just talk about the ending?
I want to say that, like,
say?
I love that the whole match was actually just a kind of, like, C-grade, minor, like, challenging game. It wasn't like what always happens in a sports movie is it's always, like,
it's
the
US
final.
Open final.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's Wimbledon. It's something big, like...
But that's so
satisfying.
It's so clever because they're at such opposite ends of the spectrum competitively that they had to meet in the middle.
Exactly.
And that made it more charged. And what was interesting is that you would assume, as is outlined in the sauna scene, that...
Sauna scene was great. So good.
Donaldson has, you know, is the one of the one, he's going to the US Open, he's one of the world's biggest players, but he has more to lose, way more to lose.
Oh yeah, because it's like, it's so embarrassing
Paul's
for
Mike.
Him to go to
exactly
so
way more stressful
to go to this tournament and lose, like, but also
so that made
I just
it fascinating
that, like, he's like, yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm a famous tennis player, you're a loser, and then
but Zweig has,
like,
all the power in that
but
moment.
Josh O'Connor's like, yeah, but you've never beaten me.
Yeah,
and he means in both love and tennis, because he broke up with Zendaya, like when I love that scene when him and Zendaya were fighting, and he's like, "You can't coach me. I'm not your cheerleader.
I'm your peer.
We're peers." Yeah. And she didn't like it. And I think what's so fascinating about the film is she always wants to be in control. Like, she's a control freak. And at the end, when he did that thing with the tennis racket, which we knew was gonna happen, and she lost the power because she was trying to control him and the husband, and. It's so, like, I was rooting for her, I was rooting for the husband, I was rooting for Josh O'Connor. Like, I really wanted Josh O'Connor to win. But, like, at the same time, and I felt bad for Zendaya in that, like, you feel terrible for her character because, of course, like, she had such a promising career and then she received that injury, which she blames him for, even though it's not actually his fault. But, like, it's so good the way they kind of do it all backwards and you learn, like, why does she hate him so much? But then they, like, keep having sex.
Did you notice back to how they structured that game running throughout the movie as the sort of spine of the movie,
mm-hmm.
that the flashbacks were mirroring the sets of the game. So So Zweig won the first set, right? He won it 6-2.
And then we see him winning
and then
Zendaya.
In the flashback, yeah, he's winning. He's got all the control. He's winning Zendaya. Then we flick to the second set, which is act two of the film, and suddenly it flips, and Donaldson wins that 6-2, and we're viewing in the past. He's winning Zendaya. And then we're down to the tiebreak where in the third act we have
no idea.
It's all to play for.
Zendaya had quite some night the night before the game.
I thought that was all handled
so good.
Really good. They had such chemistry, her and Josh O'Connor.
But also her and the husband in that scene where he's like, "I'm quitting tennis," and she's like, "Okay." And then she's like, "Do you want me to tell you I'll break up with you if you lose?" Like, they have this really weird dynamic that we never quite get to the bottom of.
Well, it's very interesting.
He's obsessed with her.
His eyes on her lap. It's very subservient.
I have to say, the sequence near the beginning, when they're all teenagers and Zendaya goes back to their bedroom, that's when I was like, this film is brilliant. Like, that, I think that was the sequence that drew me in. Like, the complete control she had over the two of them.
Yeah.
Like, Josh O'Connor's kind of having a laugh, but the other guy's really serious. When she got them kissing each other, and then she's like, "Right, I'm out of here, bye." It was so funny. There was so many funny moments.
But she always had the power throughout, you know, throughout the whole movie. She held the power until the very end, when they are communicating with each other.
Without her.
And she looks lost, she's
pissed.
They've got a secret code. They're angry at each other, but she doesn't know what's happening. She doesn't like that. And the other thing is, I love how the dialogue kept echoing throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. And she says early on at one point, you know, when she first meets them, that tennis is a relationship.
Yeah.
She was in a relationship with that person. It's like they were in love for that moment.
Yeah.
And that's what we enter into in that tiebreak, where they actually decide to park Zendaya. They both shut her out.
Yeah, they just both want to win.
I really don't think about it. I think what the movie's saying is,
they're like, let's boogie.
They finally return to each other.
Yeah.
And their relationship, and it ends literally with them hugging.
I know.
So that's what happened, and I love that they did.
She's like, it's like the one thing she does, because she knows really intimate stuff about them from when they were kids, but like, she doesn't know about that.
Exactly. That's them regaining. Their friendship from
her. Also, Josh O'Connor loves when his friend gets feisty about Zendaya. Because remember earlier on when he was like blatantly trying to break them up? Josh O'Connor was like beaming. He was like, "I love this for you. You're finally getting a bit of
that." He's getting
like,
his passion. Yeah. But that's what he has lost later in life.
Yeah.
So she loved the passion. She loved the fight that he had.
And I love all the little things.
He's less interesting to her because he doesn't have that anymore. He wants to retire.
He doesn't have the drive. I love the secret, just a little bit, like, he's eating his like special fructose gel or whatever, and then Josh O'Connor is just like eating a banana and he waves it at him, and then I found it really fascinating, the scene when him and Zendaya meet in the alleyway and she's like, "Stop pretending you're poor, like you're super rich," and I was like, oh, that's actually another really interesting area that we didn't know about. Like, we thought he was really down and out. Now, just because you have rich parents doesn't mean you have access to their money or whatever, but like, it's, she kind of made out like he could if he wanted, but he's trying to make it on his own.
Well, it's a role he's playing, and even when they have their breakup scene, she accuses him of the same thing. You're messaging me, you know, saying that, you know, it's not going your way, it's unfair. What he's portraying the put upon professional who's brilliant, but things aren't going his way. You know?
Yeah.
He likes that. It's a role. He's comfortable in it. Yeah.
But it's funny because when he's chatting up that girl in the bar just because he like needs somewhere to stay, he kind of implies like he has gone to Wimbledon and stuff. Like, he's semi-successful. Like to me, someone who's been to Wimbledon and the US Open is like, that's an amazing tennis player. But in this level, like, they don't consider it like that. But like, I love the way her husband is like getting like physiotherapy, like nutrition, like getting everything. But then when you come face to face with your like original opponent like that, like, nothing can beat the mind games. What was so good at the very beginning is that we didn't even know they knew each other until the first flashback. Like,
yeah.
The film takes its time getting there.
I didn't know that either, even after having seen the trailer.
So good. I absolutely love it. Do you know what I was thinking during it as well? You know the way we were saying that the writer is married to Celine Song? I was thinking of the scene in Past Lives.
No spoilers for that.
It's not
now,
a spoiler
right?
For Past Lives, but her husband, like, it's based loosely on her life, or inspired by her life, maybe. And her husband in that film is a writer, because obviously this guy, and he says, "I feel like if this was a movie, I'd be the guy like people aren't rooting for, or they'd be rooting for the other guy." And it just made me think that was a very complex relationship, and this is very complex relationships, and like, what a talented couple. Wonder if they ever write stuff together.
Back to what you said at the beginning then, do you think they were sitting around the kitchen table absorbing each other's scripts?
I'm obsessed with them now. I'm like, they're like the ultimate coolest couple I've ever heard of in my life.
I think
they met on a writer's retreat, right?
From
the movie, and she said it was kind of based on her life.
I think it was based on some experiences of her life. I don't think it's not necessarily directly autobiographical.
No, it's not. But anyway, I like to think that they're just sitting around like giving each other nuanced character notes.
I mean, you're right. Yeah,
they both wrote incredibly complex relationship dramas.
They'd make a great pairing as well as a back to back.
I know, they really would work well together.
Yeah, they're both about power dynamics and past lives isn't about power dynamics.
Past, you know, what would have been,
cross
and roles
path,
not taken.
What could have been. Yeah, that's
now,
true.
You want to talk about the final match? At the final of the match, that was the main thing you wanted to talk about.
I just thought it was a great ending, really good.
It's,
I mean,
such
just
a good
so
ending.
Incredibly
and
tense
and charged.
And
it got more frenetic by the end because you would be there like sweating, they're like trying to beat each other, they're like having this relationship dance, whatever the hell they're doing. It suddenly turns into like GoPro shots. It turns into like, at one point they're clearly playing on top of glass and the camera's beneath them, so you're looking at their feet. There's like drone shots. There's like how many.
I will
say
the
director was just having so much fun with the end.
Some of that I found frustrating. I think 90% of it was very good and interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's always a challenge with sports movies that are potentially less visually exciting, like tennis, I would argue. So I think they did a good job of trying to, you know, play around with that format. What didn't work for me and made me feel sick was the POV shots from both of their views.
I liked
at one
them.
Point where, and it was all shaky cam, and I was like, no. But I mean, you know, they're putting cameras on tennis balls, or at least they're giving the effect that there's a camera on the tennis.
I love
ball.
How they're just dripping with sweat, and then at one point they have Zendaya's husband just staring down the camera lens with
sweat dripping on the camera. I mean, the movie, it's very interesting visually. Yeah. I love that it is it conveys visual exposition really well, even at the beginning, just portraying how successful they are as a couple with her. You know, feeding back on an ad in a paper.
When
and
she's having sex with like, Josh O'Connor in the car, and then that poster is up behind them in the storm, kind of like.
Oh, yeah, very
blowing.
Clever. I mean, and the movie
so
also
good.
Is so good at portraying, you know, what. Like, most of this movie, the tension is portrayed by what's not being said. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not dialogue heavy. But the dialogue is excellent, and I really admired that about it. It's the what's not being said between them.
If I was being critical, I think some of the dialogue's a bit pat. Like, you mentioned it earlier, but like they use some of the dialogue, same dialogue over and over again. Like, are you in love with me? Who wouldn't be? And I'm like, do people in real life make callbacks
to
things
they
said 14 years ago? Because I truly mean this. I can't remember a single thing I said 14 years ago. I can't remember a single thing I said to you when we met, when we fell in love. Like, I wouldn't be able to make callbacks to you about our own relationship.
You're so right. And he makes, even Zweig comes in and makes a callback in the sauna room about like something like, do you think you're going to beat me tomorrow or something? But it was something like that, but it was the exact line he'd said. Art had said to him when we first met them as young people, but that would have been such an incidental thing to say to someone who you've known your entire life.
I love when they're like, when we first meet them as well, though, like they're such best friends, and it's really sad to think that that kind of all ended over like another woman, like a woman.
Yeah.
And like when he's like, oh, I'll let you in, your granny's gonna be there, and then when they're both fighting for Zendaya's hand, and then he says, what about my grandmother? And he says, I hope she has a stroke. And then it was like such black humor later on. And Zendaya goes, it's his grandmother's ring. How did she die? She had a stroke.
the movie is funny. You're right. It does have a dark sense of humor.
It's like, I really can't believe how good it was. Like, I knew it was going to be good just because, like, I knew people were saying it was good.
It was electric.
But I was not expecting it to be like that. I'm so impressed.
Did you find, though, I found it a hard adjustment at the very beginning to believe that Zendaya and him were like
a couple. Oh,
and
I
had
was
a
like,
child.
As if
I'm like, no, these people are 21. I don't know what age they actually are, but I think that's just because most of the movie they are quite young, and when they were young, they made sense.
Oh, I think then, the different timelines, how they aged them differently, was very good.
But then but later on, I just got comfortable with it and believed it. I don't know.
I didn't think they were too young to have a kid, and like I think what I didn't believe was that like
no, but they're
with him.
But sorry, they're supposed to be 31, and it was just like when I first saw it, they are in their early mid 20s, whatever, and they felt just really young to me. And then the movie tells you later on, oh, they're 31 and you've been on this ride with them. So I kind of halfway through was like, yeah, I'm fine with them.
I thought the fashion was like really good, how they mixed it around, but I just truly didn't believe she'd be with such a dweeb. And it only made more sense as the film went on, because she got a kick out of him being a dweeb. She wanted to control him. She hadn't been able to control his friend. She'd lost her temper, and she'd like when she hurts her knee, which is shocking, like it's awful, and then the guy comes to run and rescue her, and then Josh O'Connor tries to come into the room and she's like, get out, just because she's angry. Meanwhile, your man is like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, he
overcompensates. Like, calm down. But it's because he's so obsessed with her.
You're so right. The only, the moment she becomes interested in art romantically is the moment that he asks, it's the moment that he asks her to be his coach.
Yeah.
That's, he offers her a position of power. Yeah.
But also, and she gets a kick out of that. Like, she only wants to be in a relationship where she's dominant. Exactly. Like, when she's with Josh O'Connor, she's like, they're in bed and like, trying to have sex, and she just won't stop talking about tennis. And when he says, I don't want to talk about tennis, she gets out of bed and she's like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, they basically broke up because he said, I don't want to talk about tennis. Anyway, we're going to have to go. We're wrapping up. We had such a good time. Message us on socials, come over to Instagram or Letterboxd or YouTube or TikTok and let us know what you think about Challengers, or come over to Patreon
at the Cinemile
everywhere, or come over to patreon.com/thecinemile where we do a ton of TV reviews, and tell them the theme of our new retro movie watch.
So we do every month, we do a retro movie watch. This month it's a retro future movie, so we asked our patrons to come up with movies that present, movies from the past that present a vision of the future that has already passed. Confused?
So like, if a movie in 1980 had been set in 2000, that would qualify.
Yeah, exactly. The Running Man set in 2019 has happened. What one was, and we're about to watch, is 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's the winner. So we're going to be watching
Kathy
that
has never seen it before.
But I have read the book.
She has read the book, so I think you're going to have a very keen to hear your take on it.
Keen to hear your take on it, Dave.
Well, I'm even more keen to hear your take on
okay.
it. Serve, return.
Okay, great.
So that's at patreon.com/
you know your best friend that you haven't spoken to in 14 years, who I used to make a different movie podcast with?
Wait, why are you holding a ball over a tennis racket right now?
I'm meeting up with him tonight to record a podcast. Don't worry about it. There's nothing to worry about. I'm just telling him that next time we enter a podcast awards that I want him.
Whoever wins the podcast award
to let you win.
Gets you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. Bye.
Bye.